Before we dive in, a quick note to you, the listener. We are AI-generated voices derived from source material uploaded by WorldPop, and we are not real people.
But we should confirm that the audio has been edited, checked, and validated by experts at WorldPop.
Right, exactly. So with that out of the way, imagine a forest canopy.
Okay, like a dense woodland.
Yeah, and if a fast-growing weed suddenly shoots up, it temporarily hogs all the sunlight and soil nutrients,
making it incredibly difficult for a new seed to sprout nearby.
You've got it. So welcome to this deep dive into a new peer-reviewed research article published in Communications Medicine.
And our mission today is to figure out if human viruses, you know, compete in that exact same way.
Yeah, and this research is incredibly timely. It's driven by contributions from WorldPop scientists at the University of Southampton.
We are examining how respiratory viruses like SARS-CoV-2, influenza, and RSV actually interact across complex communities.
Right, and how those interactions influence epidemic timing and population level risk. So we are talking about pathogen interaction, right? Or viral interference.
Yes, exactly.
Going back to that forest analogy, are these viruses actively fighting each other in the body for dominance, like a combative boxing match?
Well, not exactly. I mean, it is more accurate to view it as competition within a shared host population.
Which is us.
Right. The shared ecosystem is us. When one virus, say the flu, sets up shop in your respiratory tract, it effectively puts your body's innate immune system on high alert.
Oh, so the cellular security guards are deployed in full force, essentially.
You could definitely say that, yes.
Wait, so catching the flu might actually be a good thing if I want to avoid catching COVID-19.
Well, it is a logical assumption to be a bit confused by that.
Because that sounds completely counterintuitive. I mean, wouldn't my immune system be exhausted and leave me more vulnerable?
The data actually suggests otherwise, at least in the short term. Because your innate immune system's general antiviral defenses are temporarily heightened, it creates a sort of hostile environment for a second virus to take root.
Okay, but how long does that invisible shield actually last? I mean, I cannot imagine a flu infection protects you all winter.
No, and you are correct to be skeptical there. The protective effect is strictly time limited.
Like days or weeks?
It lasts approximately several weeks. And we must be really careful not to oversimplify the causality here.
Right, it's not a magic, flawless shield.
Exactly. These findings rely on observational data and advanced statistical modeling. It is not a guaranteed one-to-one cause and effect mechanism we can map out flawlessly for every single individual.
Which brings us to how they actually measure this across a population. I mean, if they are competing for the same hosts, what happens when two heavyweights hit a city at the exact same time, like flu and COVID-19?
Well, you cannot just count raw case numbers in a vacuum to find out. The researchers integrated long-term epidemiological surveillance data with spatial population data sets.
Meaning they look at where people actually live and how closely they're packed together.
Exactly. They mapped how a virus physically moves through specific demographic landscapes. So they factored in high-resolution data on population density and age structures.
Ah, so this is where WorldPop-specific data sets come into play.
Yes, it is.
So instead of just looking at national averages, they're using spatial data to see how the virus behaves differently in, say, an aging coastal town versus a densely packed university city.
Right. And by combining advanced mathematical modeling with that spatial data, they capture the geographic and demographic variation in transmission.
Which is crucial for real-world application.
Absolutely. And when models actually account for these viral interactions, the predicted epidemic peaks shift dramatically.
Shift in what way?
If one virus temporarily suppresses another across a community, the peak of the second virus might arrive weeks later. Or it might be significantly smaller than if we modeled them in total isolation.
So understanding these shifting peaks dictates how health systems actually prepare for the winter respiratory season.
That is the real-world utility here. By integrating high-resolution population data sets, we improve our epidemiological forecasting. Hospitals can anticipate surges with much greater accuracy.
Right, rather than being totally blindsided by a concurrent outbreak.
Exactly. But tracking these multi-pathogen dynamics across borders requires a massive global effort. It really highlights the absolute necessity of open access data.
An international collaboration among research teams, I imagine.
Yes, it's completely vital.
It reframes how you look at epidemic forecasting. You aren't just predicting one virus, right?
No, you're predicting an entire shifting ecosystem.
Yeah, which makes you wonder, if a remarkably mild flu season leaves that ecosystem wide open, without putting our collective immune systems on high alert, how much more devastating could the subsequent wave of an entirely different virus be?
That is a very complex ripple effect. And it is exactly the kind of question epidemiologists are working to figure out next.
To read the full article, follow the link.